This is Cage Fire Radio.
Episode 11, a whole new beginning. Shout out to our sponsor, RawBase.com. Let's get Skippy in here. Hey, dude.
What's up, killer? It's a new day on a new show, so let's bring in my new partner in crime. Caitlin, you there, girl?
Yeah, I'm here.
Everybody, welcome to Cage Fire Radio. Our wonderful host, Caitlin, and me, your co-host, Skippy, we're here to talk MMA every week. We're going to bring you MMA from just coast to coast. We're going to try to focus a lot on what's going on with some of the amateurs, especially here in the Pacific Northwest and along this corridor up and down I-5 is going to be probably our primary base for guests. I'm joining this show after Caitlin's been running it for a little bit, and we're looking forward to a wonderful partnership and a good run at this. So I'd like to also thank BrawlBase. You guys, everybody get out there and check them out. They're wonderful. Find them on Facebook and Twitter, as well as I'd like to thank Madhouse.com Productions for putting on this show, and thank you, Carl, for producing it. Ms. Caitlin, how are you today?
Oh, I'm doing great. It's pretty good. It felt like a Monday today when I got up, so hopefully it's turning around.
Well, I can agree, man. I worked today down at the grow shop. It was really, really, really slow. I think I fell asleep once on the couch, but no one caught me, so. Hey, look, I want to kick this show off in good fashion. This is my first time being your co-host. But I understand you went to an event this past weekend, and that's what this show is going to be based on. And from what your recap that you did on Beckwith Beatdown, you sounded like it was just a phenomenal event.
Yeah, you know, Friday night, I worked at this haunted house, and I got to be painted with fake blood. And then Saturday night, I got to go to this event and get painted with real blood. So it was it was an interesting event. It was probably one of the best fight cards I've definitely ever seen. And I've never seen the cage fighting inside of a ring instead of a cage. So there's definitely some differences there. But I liked the fact that it was in a ring because it was a different environment and it gave it a different perspective on the fights. And, you don't know how it really feels until there's some big guy hanging over you in this ring staring at you. It's kind of scary, but so there's benefits and negatives about each, but I really love the event, and Animal House hosted the event, and a lot of their fighters won, and it was a really great night. It was just a kickboxing and boxing event in Hubbard, so a small town, but they got a big show out, so hopefully they get a lot of promotion from it.
I gotta say that big shout out to Enoch and the team out there at KO Fitness Animal House MMA. I agree. For me, I'm a little older. I grew up overseas, so K1 was my sport of choice as a kid. And coming into the Pride era, I'm a fan. Me, I've talked a lot about this on my other show, that I believe a ring is the way to go personally. I think it's better for spectators.
Yeah.
And I think it puts a different spin on the fight game because you don't have that third set of hands called the cage. You know, you can't pin.
Yeah, definitely.
So I like it. You know, if you clinch up on the ropes and you don't control that guy and you don't control him in a dominating fashion, it's a lot easier for him to get out because, A, you push too hard, obviously you're going to fall through the rings, but, B, he has room to move his ass and drop down a little bit, which you can't do, you know, with the cage. You can't get that.
Yeah.
And that angle to get that space. So I'm a big fan. I think it makes for a great fight, but I think it makes – a fighter has to be more dominant, whether it's standing up or laying down, because you have that. There's no.
You can't. Yeah. There's nothing to lean back on.
Mm-hmm.
It was definitely really interesting. When I went there, I thought that I just figured from a ring that it would be kind of less boring because you couldn't hang on to the cage and you couldn't push off of it or anything. But I found that it was actually a lot more fun than any cage fighting event that I'd been to. So I actually really like the ring preferred over the cage.
Well, we have a wonderful guest, somebody who I ultimately just think the world of as a fighter. I have much respect for him. You know, Caitlin, I don't know how many times you've gotten to see the Joker fight, but I know you got to see him fight that night. And he's going to be somebody great we can talk to about the differences because I've seen him in rings and in cages. So let's bring on the one and only, the great Anthony the Joker McDonald. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. How are y'all doing?
Great. You are live on Cage Fire Radio, Miss Caitlin, the host, and you know me, Skippy, the co-host. We've gotten to hang out at events, and I've gotten to see you fight a lot. First and foremost, congratulations on your win over Jake Richmond at Animal House KO Fitness's Backwoods Beatdown.
Thank you. It was a fun event, and it was a fun fight.
Now, before we get too much into your fight, I got to ask you, as somebody who has fought both in cages and in rings, do you have a preference?
I mean, ain't nothing wrong with the ring, you know, but like the cage, I kind of feel like the cage a little bit better because, like, you know, if I get backed up, I can, like, you know, work off the cage, you know, it's more structured. I can work off of it if I got pressed against it. Where to the ropes, it's not that secure, you know. I can't really, like, do a Superman punch off the rope, you know, like I could do off a cage.
Yep.
Yeah. How many times have you fought in a cage preferred to a ring?
I did 14 fights in a cage, and I did 2 in a ring.
Do you think if you did more fights in a ring that you could learn how to work off of it better than in a cage or become equal as a ring?
Yeah, I believe so. You know, in the ring, you know, like you said, I heard you say before, there's no third set of hands. You know, they can hold you up. So by working in the ring, you're more mobile. You really gotta, like, you know, really move and really think like the strategy in your fighting is to a cage where, hey, if you back him in the corner against the cage, I can just work with it and reverse or push him against the cage. So if I did ring more, I think it will up my game up a lot better.
Now, I know you a little better than some of the fans out there. You do have a bit of a boxing background. Let me ask you, with cutting off a ring, how much harder is it to cut off a cage or easier than a ring?
By me having the boxing background, you know, it's somewhat different, I believe, you know, because, you know, everything was different, you know, for me, you know, when I was a boxer. To switch over to MMA in general, it took a lot of time, you know, so for me to switch from boxing ring to a cage, it took a couple of months for me to adapt to it, so it was kind of hard.
Jump in, Ms. Caitlin.
I was wondering, do you prefer kickboxing over boxing? Because I saw that night that you took a kickboxing match.
I prefer, at first, I was like I said before, I was always boxing, you know. I was in the Army, I boxed a lot. So when I started doing MMA and I started doing kickboxing, I started learning a lot more. I started feeling a lot better on my legs. So it made me love kickboxing, you know. So from here on out, I've been taking kickboxing fights or boxing fights. I like to use my legs a lot more, whereas back then I was really hesitant of doing it.
Mhm. So you started off with boxing and then got into kickboxing? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And that fight that night, it ended in a decision, right? Which kind of decision did it end in?
Unanimous decision.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Now, Anthony, you touched on something, and with the kickboxing aspect in the game that you're learning, you know, and growing in, how much of an interest do you have in possibly going the new route of the new leagues like K1 coming back to the United States in the way they have, and, you know, Warriors Cup and Lion Fight, these stand-up-only style fight leagues that are starting to grow exponentially in America now. Do you have any interest in maybe taking that route?
Oh yeah, actually I talked to Ben Fitzmascottis about it, like, you know, doing like trying out K1, trying out kickboxing events, you know. I'm not afraid of the ground game. I'm not afraid of the ground game of MMA, but kickboxing is more of a, you know, a live chess game. Like, you know, your move versus his move and everything like that. I mean, I'm deeply thinking about doing K1, doing kickboxing events a lot more than MMA.
Well, okay. Well, that's going to – I was about to ask as my follow-up question, would we see you maybe take that path sooner than later?
I mean, yeah, I'm going to take it a lot sooner, I believe, you know, because, like, it's kind of hard as my, like, me being, like, a heavyweight going into a light heavyweight to get fights in the MMA. But I see it's a lot easier to do kickboxer fights, you know, if you see a lot of people out here, a lot of promotions saying, hey, I need a heavyweight kickboxer, you know, for this fighter, or I need a 205 kickboxer, you know. I've seen that a lot more than they've been, I need a heavyweight MMA fighter to take on a fight. So I've been seeing a lot of kickboxing fights coming up. It made my interest in it a lot more and be a lot more easier and be a lot more, you know, like, I really want to do this now. You know, I love throwing kicks. I love, you know, using my hands and my legs, and I work with the takedown, you know.
So why do you think it is that there's more people asking for a heavyweight kickboxing fight than an MMA fight at the heavyweight level?
I think, in kickboxing fights, you're going to work with takedown. You know, it's either a knockout or the guy give up in the middle of the fight. Whereas, though, you know, you see in MMA where if a big guy gets, like, blasted pretty good, he goes to the ground and they hold each other for a long time until he gets his composure back. Whereas in kickboxing, you hit a guy, that guy's going to pounce on you until you drop.
Yeah.
So people, when they see kickboxing fights, they know that, you know, okay, this is going to be a good fight. They're going to swing for the fences. Somebody's going to get hurt, and somebody's going down. I got right by him, holding against him on the ground and hold him tight to, like, you know, kill time. You know somebody's going to get knocked out.
I agree. You know, you touched on that heavyweight issue and light heavyweight issue. You know, a lot of the kickboxing organizations go by kilograms, so you even have weights in between the 205 and the 250 that, you know, you can get matched up for. Let's say you get a last-minute call 10 days out, and they say, we need a 225-er. Well, you're like, hey, normally I fight at 205, but right now I'm sitting at 230. I got 7 days. Let's take it, you know.
Yeah.
So that's another opportunity for you. And I have seen what you pointed out is, and we've had other guests that we've talked to in the past through Madhouse that have said today's MMA has gone to the lower weights. It's getting away from the 185s, the 205s, and the heavies. It's going to the 125, the 135s, because those weight classes have now opened up. And there's such
right.
a large, you know, collection of fighters at that weight class. So I think it's great. And I'll tell you, as a K1 kid, I think your frame, I think watching you with your hands and your abilities with your kicks, I think personally you're better suited for a K1 style, you know, match. It just suits you. You're a chess man. You like to get in there. You're methodical about what you do with your hands. And for those out there who've never seen him fight, just Google him versus Jimmy Jeanette. That's all you need to know. That fight right there will show you what kind of tough guy this guy really is. And your hands in that fight were phenomenal. Your technique was great. The way you turned your hips on your kicks was beautiful. I think I would like to see you take a serious run at the K1's events in the United States and make a name there. That's just my opinion as a fan.
I mean, like, because, like, I started watching kickboxing a lot because I watched my favorite kickboxer out there is still to the Alistair Overeem. You know, when he's a 205er, even if he was a heavyweight, I still watch him to this day. I watch his old fights in K1 and how he, you know, his hand combination, how he's always patient. So it's like, when I watch those fights and I watch the K1 kickboxers on cable, you know, it just, I watch those a lot more than, like, Bellator and stuff like that. You know, I got mad respect for the UFC and them, you know, and Bellator. But when you get the K1 kickboxing or any kickboxing event going on, it's more interesting because you see these guys move and think on their feet. They think on their feet when they get hit. They're still thinking, like, I got blasted. What can I do?
Andy Hug, one of the greatest examples of that. Sorry to jump in and cut you off, Miss Caitlin. You know, him and Bada Hari are probably my two all-time favorite stand-up strikers coming out of the K1. And, you know, it's a very sad thing that we don't have Andy around today, but, I mean, he was the king of getting punched and knocking somebody out in exchange. He would bring that axe kick. You know, somebody would double jab him, and as he's coming back, he would snap that axe kick right down on your trapezoid and put you onto the ground.
Yeah.
And see, that's the kind of things I see with your body style, similar to him and similar to, you know, Bada Hari, with the long hands, the long torso, and the ability to bring that leg and that hip up and over with all that power. So, I just got to say, I'm glad to see you go to Backwoods Beatdown and have fun down there.
I was glad that, you know, they invited me because I was supposed to fight Joseph Nora at that event. At KO Fitness, like, I never was told I had a replacement fighter, you know, and I'm laying in bed watching TV, and all of a sudden I get a phone call saying, hey, dude, you're fighting. It's like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm like, really? I'm like, you sure this is the right answer? He said, Anthony McDonald. My teammate Chad was like, yeah, Anthony McDonald versus Jake. Dude, where you at? I'm like, all right, I'm on the way down there now.
So, you said earlier, you said kickboxing, you have to do a lot of thinking on your feet. So, going into the ring or the cage, can you really go in with a game plan, or do you have to go in with, like, the idea of whatever happens, happens? Or how do you mentally prepare for a kickboxing match?
A kickboxing match is to prepare, you know. It's just, like, you know what you're capable of doing, you know. My thing, when I go in there, I don't worry about what my opponent can do. My game plan is to inflict my will, you know, what can I do, you know, to get this guy open or how to hit him, stuff like that. That's my game plan when I walk in the cage. That's how I prepare myself. Into a cage fight, anything can happen in a cage fight, you know. Because, like, a lot of fighters, when they fight, they worry about, if I throw this strike, if I throw this kick, he's going to take me down. That fighter worries about getting taken down or getting ground and pound, whereas in a kickboxing fight, you know, you're more of, okay, I want to – you know, this is what I want to do. This is how I'm going to do it. I'm not going to worry about what he's going to do or how he's going to counter me. I'll make sure I'm going to get mine in, and I'll make sure he pays for it.
Yeah.
Miss Caitlin, so you know, that statement is so true because typically, and I'm not saying this is every time, but typically if you mess up in an MMA match, if you make a mistake, you're going to end up on your butt. You're going to end up with a guy trying to smother you with submissions. You know,
exactly.
9 times out of 10, it's not a KO if you make a mistake in MMA. You make a mistake in K1, 9 times out of 10, it is a KO. And that's just
exactly.
The reality of the two sports.
Exactly, because it's rarely a TKO in K1. It's rare. You know, there's a guarantee it's a knockout where the guy quits between rounds, but the guarantee is like 9 times out of 10, it's a knockout. They could be a body shot, a kick to the body, kick to the leg, or a head shot, you know. Anything can happen in K1 is MMA, the guy can win by unanimous decision just by laying on you. You know, I prefer kickboxing a little bit more than MMA.
Yeah. So You've talked about kickboxing and boxing and MMA. Do you like to compete at those in phases, or will you take a variation of fights at different times, or do you like to do them all at one time?
I like doing them all, you know. I could do them all. It ain't like, okay, this month I'm going to do MMA or kickboxing. They say, hey, listen, we need a heavyweight kickboxer to fight this guy. I'm like, all right, cool, you know. Where at? I'll do it, you know. But I make sure that I'm not, you know, just jumping to any kickboxer fight, you know. I want to jump in a fight and they say, hey, yo, you fighting, you're going to fight during, you're going to fight Alex Overeem. Fuck that. I'm not putting up any fight. You know?
But Anthony, if you were to get, you know, the opportunities that he has gotten, which are still available for you, you know, to go down to Coconut Creek and train with AT&T, or maybe to shoot down and do some work, you know, with Vitley, or you know one of the greats, you know, like Maurice Travis or something along those lines, or you know, maybe you get a good chance, you know, next year somebody sees you and they say, hey, you know, Golden Glory would like you to shoot over to Rotterdam, spend 6 weeks and work with the boys over there. We'd like to invite you. So, you know, those opportunities, I believe, are more often given in the Thai and the K-1 fights because it's such the history and tradition that's there for so long, and it is about sharing. It is about helping and teaching. And MMA is getting there, but I think you would have a better chance working some of the smaller shows, building your way up through K-1 and getting doors to open that way, then the chances with everybody flooding MMA, and there's a million guys right now who want to train at the best gyms, you know, people are forgetting about Muay Thai and K-1, and that's why I'm glad to see this resurgence, and I'm glad to see fighters like you who do MMA step aside and show that art form to the world.
Yeah, I like what I want to do, you know, because you got to think about it. People come to MMA right now, they have, jiu-jitsu background, wrestling background. They come in with wrestling and jiu-jitsu. A lot of, if there's not a lot of fighters that come in, you know, say, hey, yeah, I did kickboxing for like 6-7 years, you know. Everybody coming in now are wrestlers, jiu-jitsu guys that master the ground game that don't have a decent stand-up game, and that's why they lose, you know.
Thank you. Now, let me ask you, I'm going to state this to you this way. Do you feel that Western wrestling has turned MMA to a points fighting game now?
Yeah, I believe so. Because think about it, you know, back then it was always like, and like MMA was always like, all right, like Tuck Liddell, you know, he'll bang you, he'll always do with the stand up guy, he'll bang you, drop you, you know. Only time he'll use wrestling is to get back on his feet. He never depended on his wrestling to like to take a guy down, you know. Now it's like you got guys like Sean Jordan and Rashard Evans, and they're like, all right, you know, if you take this guy to the ground, hold him, we can win this. That's points right there. And they do it, and they want to win the fight, you know, over a very, you know, a very talented striker, you know. And that's what tripped me out now is that, oh, my, that's what makes my some of these fights boring sometimes. They take him down to the ground, they hold him. That coach like, hold him there. Do a little hammer fist, do a little elbows, keep him down on the ground. And it's like, where's the fighting? Where's the MMA at? Right now you're just stalling time to get the points so you can win.
That's true. Ms. Caitlin, go for it.
So you take advantage of a lot of opportunities that you're given, but unlike a lot of fighters that I've seen and met recently, a lot of them will take fights within a week's notice, a day's notice, but you said you'll take those fights, but you make the decision smartly. So I was curious, as what are you expecting for your future? Like, what are you looking into doing next? Do you want to continue on the straight path of going towards kickboxing, or what kind of matches are you looking forward to, or do you plan on going pro? I mean, what's next for you?
I'm still planning on going pro. That's like my, you know, I'm still planning on going pro. But I'm gonna do a lot more kickboxing fights than MMA. You know, I'm still. Like everybody's goal is to get into Strikeforce or UFC. That's my goal, to get into UFC. But at the same time, I'm taking a different route to it, you know. Yeah, I'd rather, you know, do like some of the other great kickboxers, the boxers did. They got famous and got into the UFC through their skills, kickboxing and boxing. They went through, that's how they got noticed. So you got stuff right there like Dana White and these guys. They're not just looking at MMA. cage fight. They're looking at all areas, you know, boxing. They're looking at the boxing ring too.
It's true.
You know, they, you know, I think they saw about Alistair Overeem. They went to, like, they knew something about through Pride. That was a rope. That was a ring. That wasn't a cage in Pride.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny you bring him up because, I mean, he's the only person that I can think of off the top of my head in the history of combat sports that held a Dream title, a Strikeforce title, and a K-1 title. So that's
exactly.
Rings, cage, and stand-up all simultaneously and gave them all up, vacated them. Didn't lose them. He vacated them to come to the UFC.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, I mean, he gets a belt. You know, I'm a huge Junior Dos Santos fan. I am. But, you know, it's a matter of time before he gets a UFC belt.
He's the greatest striker in that weight class. I don't care what anybody says. There's nobody who can stand up and bang with him.
Nope.
And he's got a purple belt.
Huh?
And he's got a purple belt in jiu-jitsu. So, I mean, people forget that.
Yeah, he said himself. He's like, where he's from, they're nothing but kickboxing. So he took advantage of that and did some grappling to have an advantage over other kickboxers.
Yep, and it worked. You saw in some of the clinches and some of his great fights, and the way he was able to push off and control one arm and bring over an overhand right, you know, controlling the left wrist, you know. So you do see aspects of the ground game in his stand up game when he was still in the K-1 division.
Exactly. Yep.
Do you have a favorite style of fighting?
My favorite style is, like, you know, first was just boxing. You know, I always say, yeah, I'm a boxer and I'm Brazilian jiu-jitsu. But it's like now I do so much kickboxing. Look what Rennie and Ivan, that my kickboxing skills has, like, you know, gotten a whole lot better than it was in the beginning. So I prefer to do kickboxing. I love my favorite main style is kickboxing now.
Yeah.
Now, with some of the coaches you have down there, how much aspects of the Thai game are getting shown to you?
I have Rennie, and we have a new coach named Ivan. You know, he worked with the Tap Out team in Vegas. You know, he's like, he has various styles, you know, and he showed me a whole different style of striking where it's more effective, even at close range, more effective. Rennie is teaching me about my distance and coming at angles, you know, and I work with Corey Wyatt. You know, he's pretty much the reason why my stand-up game is where it is right now because, you know, I was always stiff. Then training with him, falling with him almost every day, you know, and he told me to be relaxed, be loose, be creative. And what you see in the cage and what you see in the ring is all because I became very loose with my striking. I wasn't tentative anymore.
That's, you know, that's a great guy to train with, you know, obviously, you know, the world ranks number 185 amateur, and I believe he's 5-6-0 as a pro. I know me and you've had this conversation, but for fans on Cage Fire Radio, what did we figure? It was like 28 or 29 titles in your gym?
Yeah.
Between you, Corey, and Shorty?
Yeah, between me, Corey, and Shorty, and now Sean Clemens has a belt. So we have like he won his belt at the Astoria fight in Tsunami. He went through a war, a three-round war, and he got a decision.
That was a crazy fight.
Yeah, and you could tell when we saw that fight that he's been working on his ground game a whole lot, you know, and he looked great. He looked great on the ground, you know, reversing and stuff like that. I was like, you know, we was all happy for him. And he had another belt in Midtown. So I think we have almost like 29 belts, 30 belts now.
Yeah. And before we wrap up with you, speaking of your belts, why don't you give a shout-out to any sponsors, your gym, Facebook, Twitter, so fans can find you?
You can catch me on, Anthony McDonald at Facebook.com. You know, my sponsors, Black Dutch Motors, Man Cave Beer, Stay on Flux. You know, my team, you know, Midtown team, Chad Mertens, Corey Wyatt, Shorty, Ivan, you know, everybody, you know, that, you know, is helping us, you know, helping me out, you know, become a better fighter, you know, and all my friends and family out there.
Well, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing you fight again. I'm probably going to jump in and beat, Ms. Caitlin to this question, but is there anything in the works right now for a match, MMA or K1 or just boxing?
You did steal my question.
I have a fight up on November 10th. It's going to be in Reno, along with Justin Ellis and Corey Wyatt. You know, Justin Ellis, I know one of my teammates, a good guy. You know, he came with us. He joined our team, and he's a great fighter. He's helping us out, too. We all going to be down in Reno doing a event. We all have fights that day.
Oh, that's cool.
Wow.
That's way cool.
Did you plan on trying to get on the next card for the KO Fitness?
I talked to some of the guys there. They had an event coming up. The United Combat Sports is doing this one, and I've been asking for a while to do an event with these guys. They want me to do it at 205, so I said I'll do a fight for them at 205.
Oh, okay.
I think it's like December 8th, I think.
Yeah, it's December 8th.
Well, you know, Anthony, you always put on a show for the fans out there. For the fans who don't know, you're called the Joker. That's your nickname. You wear one of the coolest masks. You know, I've posted many of pictures of you wearing that mask. I love it. You have showmanship, which is one more reason why you should be in K1, man. You have all the mixings to be a great, great world-class K1 star because you have that showmanship, which K1 so much appreciates. Those fans expect to see that little over-the-top before you fight. So I love your masks. I hope you don't ever stop wearing them.
Oh, well, every fight we do is like either if it's like a really big event. I have a friend of mine named Phil. He does my mask. He does my designs for my mask, and he's like the one that comes up with it. He always say, "I got one better than the last one. I got one better than that one." And I don't see it until like the day of the fight.
Do you save them all and like frame them or hang them or keep them as memorabilia?
Yeah, I hang them on my wall. I gave one to a young little kid in my last the Throwdown 4. He's like, "Can I have your mask?" I'm like, "Yeah, sure, here you go." I signed it. He signed it for him, and I took a picture with him, and I gave it to him.
Oh, that's
wow!
Cool.
That's so
cool.
Nice of you.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's one thing about Anthony. You know, as much as I've hung out with you, and for fans listening tonight and down the road, he's legit. He's not afraid if you guys come up and want to meet him and take photos with him. He's very personable. He's a big fan favorite for that reason.
Thanks, man. Thank you.
Well, look, I know it's getting late, Ms. Caitlin. If you don't have anything else, we'll wrap up this segment.
I don't think I have anything else.
Anthony, you know, you tell all the boys down there that Madhouse said hi and Cage Fire Radio. We so appreciate you coming on. You know, Brawl Base is always working to expose that new, you know, amateur upbringings that are, you know, the grassroots of what becomes the UFC. So, you know, we at Madhouse, Brawl Base, and Cage Fire, we really appreciate you taking the time to come on the show and hang out with us.
Thank you for having me. You know, I always love coming to your show and talking to y'all guys.
Well, go kick back, spend some time with your family, enjoy the rest of your night.
You too. You have a good one, guys.
Miss Caitlin.
Yeah?
Gosh, is he not just as good to watch as he is to hang out with or what?
Yeah, he's a nice guy. That was a lot of fun. I've met him. I saw him at the Astoria fights there at Sean Clemens, and I just saw him at the Animal House. So I've only seen him a couple times, but I'm really interested in seeing him in the cage.
Now, you know, as somebody who got to sit there and you know, somebody who's predominantly reported on MMA for Madhouse and your show, Cage Fire, has predominantly been an MMA-based show, now that you've gotten that taste of K1, is that something we might see you do more of?
I really, really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was really interesting, and I feel like there's a lot of technique and skill you have to put in there, and like he said, you have to really think on your feet, and I'm always really interested in people's reactions and how quickly they can react to someone else, So it was a lot of fun for me watching how people react and how they go about their game plan in the ring. So I thought it was really interesting.
You know, and that's, and it's true. I believe that, you know, as a fan of the sport for so long, that technique is the key to success. You've got to be technically sound in that game. And that's how you win, is because that guy makes a mistake and you're technically ready. You know what you're going to do next, because, like you said, it is a very quick thinking, you know, matchup between two grown men, and, you know, in the middle of a stand-up war. So, you know, it is different than when you prepare and go into a mixed martial arts match in a cage and you add grappling into that. So, you know, I'm glad that you got to experience it. You don't even know how much it makes me happy that you like it, because, you know, me and Carl, we're old school guys. We like that stand-up. You know, I know Carl's hiding in the back, and everyone, big shout-out to our producer, Carl. You can follow him at Madhouse, MMA Madhouse on Twitter. You know, when you get into that striking game, which is what a lot of fans like about the UFC, is when they see those guys bang, and I wish those fans who get into that the MMA would get into the K-1s and the Muay Thai fights. It's just as dedicated, you know. There's so much more. I mean, you saw some great amateurs doing K-1. I mean, we got mad love for Carly Marie Black. She's a 17-year-old. Now she's 17. She won her first K-1 title out of Idaho last year when she was 16.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, she is one cool girl, man. I love watching her fight. She is so vicious. Her technique is flawless.
I feel like every time I see girls fight compared to guys, I feel like the girls look a lot more vicious than the guys do. You know, they look. I feel like a lot of girls come out and they look like it's going to be a fight to the death.
It's, you know, it's funny you say that, because that is how I feel as well.
Okay.
Watching multiple women fighters, I don't know, maybe, you know, and I don't want to be disrespectful to any female athletes in any shape, but maybe it's that mothering instinct, you know, inside a woman that says, okay, shit's about to hit the fan. I've got to give it all. You know, you hear those stories about mothers who lift up cars to save their kids. You know, maybe
yeah.
that kind of chemical reaction in the brain. So I don't
really?
Know. Really? I agree with your statement.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking that because MMA is a more male-based sport, I was like, maybe women come out and they – feel like they have more to prove than a guy does, and so there's anger behind it.
That's a very valid point. It's a very valid point. It looks like we've got somebody in queue. Cody, are you ready, buddy?
Yeah, I'm on. I'm here.
Okay, Cody, welcome to Cage Fire Radio. You're on with the host, Miss Caitlin, and me. I'm the co-host, Skippy. I'd like you to start off by introducing the world to who you are and give us a little quick background about your career.
My name is Cody Pragman. From small town Lebanon, Oregon. I don't know. I just bring kickboxing, boxing, wrestling to the cage. I'm only 2-0. I'm called Green Ammy. Just, you know, I'm just in the market to learn and get some experience and just kind of see if I can move up. You know, little personal goals here and there and meet new people. I love the scene. I love the sport. You know, and. About it. I mean, what can I say? It's awesome. It's, you know, as close as we get to gladiators in real time.
Very true.
Yeah. So you want to learn and experience a lot more from this. How dedicated would you say that you are to this? Would it be more of as a hobby or something that you want to go with as a career, or how do you feel about it?
As of lately, I've actually been to the gym 6 to 7 days a week, taking it pretty serious. But working on my cardio, I actually, some of my sponsors I have purchased an elevation training mask. I'm not sure if you all are familiar with that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I've been wearing that thing, you know, every time I run, you know, 4 to 5 miles every day, and I wear that while I run, trying to catch up on the cardio. I think cardio is key for a lot of this, especially in these smoker events. But I'd say
mm-hmm.
I'm pretty dedicated right about now at this time in my life, but I never really had the opportunity to do this before, so now I do have an opportunity, so I'm just going to see where it takes me.
Yeah, and it listed you as an independent fighter at the KO Fitness and Animal House event. So do you train by yourself, or do you have people that train with you, or how does training work out?
Actually, I have a gym over at my buddy's house in Waterloo, Oregon, and we go there several days of the week and train. There's other people from the Bully Gang other fellows that I've trained with there at the gym. You guys have heard of Shorty Weichel and Levi Weichel. The Weichel brothers have been there with me. Chris Sinsley, he's a big name there. He comes out and works jiu-jitsu with me. And then when I'm not at my gym, I'm down at Victory Gym in Albany, Oregon, and we got a great pro boxing coach there. His name is Jesse, and we work on hands and stand up. But it's a pretty decent place. I like it. Good people.
Mm-hmm.
Good work ethic. So.
Hey, Cody, you mentioned the cardio. I'd just like to jump back to that real fast. We say it all the time, that's the only thing you can truly control in a fight, whether it's kickboxing, grappling, or MMA. Do you feel that as well?
Oh, for sure. You don't put time in and you don't work hard enough, you're going to lose it, you know, and there's certain, you know, when you throw certain combinations and certain punches, you need to constantly work on that, and that's part of your cardio and your workout routine. And,
yeah,
you know,
I totally agree.
I'd like to say something too. I heard you guys when I called in talking about female fighters, and female fighters, it's a big thing. There's some tough girls out there, and I got the ultimate respect. I was born, you know, and raised with eight sisters, so you know I've learned to respect a woman and you don't go toe to toe with a woman. But my little sister is the perfect example. She's won title belts in MMA. Her name is Shoni Plagman. She goes by Shoni Esquire now. But, she's a tough competitor. I watched her back in high school wrestle boys and make them cry and run off the mat and wrestle them, you know. But, you know, I think it's great.
Oh,
yeah. This last Smoke Career event, I had a female fighter at 140. Her name's Kirsten Allen. She came up and represented Victory Gym. At this Smoker, she came home with a W, and she did really well. I heard you guys talking about her going, women think they have to prove to fight, and she came out there swinging. The girl said that when I'd made the arrangements with Enoch Wilson, it was just going to be a straight boxing match because the girl's never kickboxed before. This is Kirsten. When we got there, the girl said she didn't want to fight because she wasn't going to kickbox. So we came all the way up there and got ready on last-minute notice. And the girl didn't want to fight her because she didn't want to kickbox. So my girl was like, all right, let's kickbox. And I didn't come up here for nothing. So she got out of her element, put the knee pads on, shin pads on, and rolled with this girl and banged it out with her and, you know, got the W. It was really impressive, really, really good win for her.
That's so awesome. I had heard that there's a mix-up like that that has happened. I didn't know that she had just taken that kickboxing fight. That's so cool.
Yeah,
this is the fight with Sasha
was like,
Brown, right? You guys are talking about? Is it Sasha Brown, I believe?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. I just wanted to catch up. I wasn't lucky enough to be at this great event and watch you and your teammates fight. So I'm trying to keep up with Miss Caitlin because she got to sit ringside.
Mm-hmm. They both did really well. Now, both of them performed very great. It was good. And that's the other thing about the Smoker that this last at the back with the beatdown, you know, every single fighter put on a phenomenal show and great fight, great event. I dig the people there. Very respectful environment. My opinion on the judgment of my fight, I think probably was wrong. I mean, in my opinion, you know, but I felt, you know, I was more technical. And I don't know if you guys had a chance to watch it or not.
Well, that's why we asked you to come on. Now, I'm going to be an outsider because I'm only getting to read, you know, highlights and get highlights from people there or Miss Caitlin, who covered the event for Madhouse.com. But I could tell that you were not that happy with your postings earlier. So me and Miss Caitlin thought it'd be great to bring you on. And I'd like
That's
you
awesome.
To give your side and let me hear from you first. And then I'd like Miss Caitlin to give her side. You know, whether she agrees or disagrees with what you say, I'd like to get her opinion after we hear yours.
Okay. I mean, you know, like, Like I said, I have nothing bad to say about anybody there, and especially Luis Lopez, utmost respect. He's a great fighter. He came out brawling. We had a good fight. That's what I'm talking about. Sportsmanship. He's bowing and everything. That's where I like to fight. You know what I mean? And that was awesome. I just felt that I was more technical, more punches, more kicks, more accurate. You know, I opened up with the spinning back fist that connected and wobbled his knees. First round in a minute and 17 seconds, I dropped him with the right jab. You know, he hit the ground. If you blink, you'd have missed it because he was down and up. And then it was just firing back and forth. After my fight, both two of the judges come up to me and they're like, you know, you're a great fighter, technical fighter, but you didn't control the ring. You know, I watched the video. I was in the middle of the ring almost the whole time. You know, in my opinion, and throwing the spinning back kicks and spinning back fists and backing him up. And I don't know, it was a good fight, and I give him credit and whatnot, but I just kind of thought I won. That's why I had my hands up. I was like, I felt pretty confident that I won. I got a knockdown, and then in the second round, there was also, he attempted a face kick, and you can see in the video, I caught his kick and pulled him. And it was like a double action where he was slipping, but I also grabbed him at the same time and pulled him up, and I didn't get rewarded for that, you know. I was standing 10 counts. I don't know. I don't know. There's lots of different moments that I could think of, but I just thought, pretty much my performance was just a little better, but oh well. I'm not going to die or nothing, it's not killing me or whatever. I had sustained zero damage from the aftermath of the fight, so it's not a big deal. It's just,
Now, Miss Caitlin, what's your opinion? You're as a reporter, how did you see that fight going?
Well, definitely I would want to watch the video again to get a refresher on the fight because there were a lot of fights that night, and I believe that your fight was halfway through, I think. And, when I was watching it, I was right in the middle there of the cage, and I could hear both coaches, and all I could hear was them screaming at you guys. And it turned into, I was thinking the whole time, I was like, wow, this is crazy. This isn't just a fighter's battle. This is a coach's battle also. Because all you could hear in that whole gym was those coaches just screaming their head off at their fighters. And so when I was watching you guys, both of you guys had really good technique and cardio, I felt. But I feel like I could have gone either way, honestly. So I don't know. I couldn't have really called it, but I know that it would have been extremely close, swinging either way.
What I would have appreciated is a third round, because a fight that close, if a fight that close, if you can't decide, then give us a third round, and I would have been all for that, and that would have been awesome. And when I went back to my corner, my coach and my brother were like, all right, one more round, let's go, here's a shot of water. I turn around and they said, that's it. And I'm like, oh, so I was preparing for it.
Yeah, I was definitely disappointed in that. I felt like if it was that close that it would be a split decision and things like that, that it definitely should have gone to a third round and let you guys just battle it out. So I definitely agree with you on that.
Yeah, I mean, and he earned it. I give him that respect. He come out and he fought really good, and he had good footwork. He was fast. He landed a lot of leg kicks, but that was about it. Just leg kicks and a few head down and swinging. But, I don't know. I just think you could have went a little differently, and I appreciate you guys letting me call in and cry about it.
Yeah, definitely.
No, hey, look, to Miss Daisy, if you're still listening, please call back in 310-742-1799 because you seem to be under the same mindset as Cody here, that you had a disagreement with some of the judging there. So obviously there's other fans out there listening tonight, Cody, who kind of feel similar to you in the fact that the judging might not have been how they felt it should have gone. So you're not the only one with that. And like I said, Miss Daisy, if you're listening, please, we've got about 8 minutes left of radio, live radio. So if you want to call in and just express your opinion, just call right in. We'll let you come right on. Cody, as for you, I don't want to take another good question from Ms. Caitlin, but I got to ask, which route are we going to see you go? Is this a one-time deal, or are we going to see you start to take more kickboxing matches, or are you going to go back and focus on MMA?
I'm already signed up for the Smoker 2 event with Ben Scroggins down at MMA Midtown, and those guys down there put on an awesome event. I lost my bout last time with them. Good fight. That was a reasonable loss. You know, it was a good fight. They also have a lot of great fighters and a lot of talent down there, and it's going to be some good fights. The MMA thing is definitely on the agenda of list of things to do. I want to continue in my MMA career, but I like these kickboxing bouts. I like going out and banging for 2-3 minutes to just everything you got, and then, you know, the glory at the end is just knowing that you did it, you know what I mean, and practice. It's great practice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. If you can get in there and experience that stand-up game, you know, in an action-packed environment like a kickboxing match, or, you know, just the opposite, if you can get into a grappling tournament, you know, and develop those skills separate from your MMA training, it will obviously merge with your MMA training. But, you know, there is a big difference between being in a striking match where, you know, takedowns are not legal versus being in a takedown fight where striking is not legal.
Definitely. Definitely, yeah. And like you said, you got to merge them together. And you know, that takes time and skill, and you got to put work in and you know, that's what I love about it, and it keeps me busy and keeps me out of trouble.
That is definitely in December. Your next event that you know of offhand will be another kickboxing match then, correct?
Right, yeah, and that's December 1st in Eugene, and it'd be another Smoker kickboxing match, yeah. I'm not sure who my opponent is yet, but that's where I would like to be on the next card.
Go ahead, Ms. Caitlin.
So we asked our earlier guest today if they preferred fighting in a ring or fighting in a cage better. I don't know if you fought in a cage before, but if you have, do you have a preference of which you like better?
Oh, that's really hard. I am 2-0 in the cage, and I'm 0-2 in the ring. I don't know. That's a really tough decision because I like performing and standing up, the stand-up game, and I also like the ground and pound and the submission and the mixing it all together in the cage. I think I'd have to go with the cage. Definitely.
Okay.
Like gloves. But, yeah, I mean, the cage would be my number one if I was to continue for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got a few minutes left. I don't want to run out of time with you. I'd like you to have a chance to run at any sponsors, Facebook, Twitter, any gyms, family, anybody you want to give a big shout out to.
Sure. Sweet. First off, to you guys for having me on the show. I know we're Facebook friends, and I'm always following you guys and liking comments and shows and stuff, and it's pretty cool. I gave a shout out to all my friends. I was going to be on the radio tonight, and hopefully they're listening. I know my sister is. Daisy is one of the 8 sisters that I have. And she called in tonight. That's funny. I'd like to give a shout out to her.
That's cool, man. Big shout out.
She's got my back. definitely to my sponsors, the Bully Gang, Victory Gym for using their gym and their pro coach and all the guys that have been training with, KG Bridles and Tack. They're a leather tack shop in Waterloo. Special shout out to them. Express Yourself Coffee in Salem. Northwest Graphic and Apparel Designs. They're hooking up the sweaters and T-shirts for me from my sponsors. Shoot, I know I'm probably missing some guys out there. We got a Lebanon Speedway racetrack out there in Lebanon. We got a lot of fellows from there. There's some good friends. There's some sponsors, too. And all the fans, Enoch Wilson, what up, buddy? I'm not trying to bash on you, nothing like that. I got the utmost respect for you, man. And all you guys in that gym, you guys are A-plus in my book, very well-rounded fighters, very good fighting. and I'd hope to fight in your next event. And thanks again for having me on your show. Appreciate it.
Oh, no, hey, you know, I know Miss Caitlin appreciates you coming on her show, Cage Fire Radio. And, you know, to you know, for all the fans out there, do you have a Twitter?
I do not. Actually, just Facebook. That's it. I don't do the whole Twitter thing and all that. I haven't really had the time training all the time. I actually, on the side, I'm a pro-licensed exercise rider. I ride racehorses at the Portland Metal Racetrack there in Portland. So I prep the horses for races for the jockeys and whatnot. And so I've got a pretty full schedule. But Facebook's about it for me, is technology.
Well, hey, Miss Caitlin, if you got anything, go ahead and finish it up and wrap it up for us.
No, I don't have anything else, but I want to thank you for coming on and sharing your opinion about your fight. A lot of people I know either don't say anything at all or they completely blow up about it. So I really respect you coming on the show and being honest about your opinion and not opposing others' views. So that's really awesome. And I'd really like to have you on the show again in the future after one of your other fights. And hopefully you come on again and you get a win this time.
Definitely. Right on. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Hey, Cody, you have a wonderful night, brother. Thank you for joining Cage Fire Radio tonight. And hopefully we'll have you on again down the road to talk some more action.
Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Miss Caitlin, I have to say that I think you have a stalker.
What?
Yeah, Candy Hess.
Oh, that's my mom.
Oh.
She's probably laughing about that right now. You know, she listens to every one of these episodes. She's my number one fan, so she's probably laughing right now.
Okay. Hi, Mom. I didn't know you were your mom. So, you know, your daughter's wonderful at this show. I'm very honored that she brought me onto the show with her. I'm big, big supporter of what she does. You should know that, and everybody out there, go to madhouse.com, go under staff, look for Caitlin, hit that button. Read the articles she does. This girl writes some of the best articles on MMA you're going to find. You know why? Because she's coming with a total different perspective of the sport than most of us are used to. We're used to old grumpy bastards like myself who write very opinionated pieces that are based on, you know, us growing up in a different world, you know, and you've gotten to grow up in what's considered an average, you know, sport now. So everybody should get out there and check out what she's writing, because she's doing top-notch article. And, you know, Miss Caitlin, I got to tell you, thank you tonight for our first show for Cage Fire Radio. Thank you, BrawlBase.com, Reed Parker and the boys. I got mad love for you guys. You know that deep in my heart. You've always been good to us. You guys go out there and check out BrawlBase.com. Miss Caitlin, go ahead. This is your show. Why don't you finish it off?
Well, I wanted to give a shout out because I have a story coming out tonight on Jacob Brown, who we had on our last show. And I know his dad is extremely excited for that. So if you're listening, Dad, it's coming out later tonight. And also in the next few days, or hopefully tomorrow, we have a story on Chad Mertens and Kevin Boehm. And so we're really excited about that. But I did have one quick question before the show ended. I noticed in the kickboxing and boxing event that there was a lot of ref stoppage, and I wasn't exactly sure why there was so much ref stoppage, so could you explain that really quick?
Yeah, it's because they're trying to keep the action going, and when the guys either clinch up and lock up and do not continue to progress, they stop it. If you grab a leg and you take more than 0.3 seconds, or I think it's a full step, without either attacking or letting go of the leg, they stop it. It's based to keep the action moving.
Okay.
You know, so I know we got 60 seconds left, but basically
yep.
Keep the action going. You'll notice the same
okay.
thing in the Muay Thai event. Even though if you're not working in the clinch, they break you. It's about keeping it going and about staying busy. Cage Fire Radio, Eagle!
Okay, people, time to disperse. Party's over.